Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from the upper part of Daf Kuf Mem Beis Omid Aleph. Last time we were involved in a discussion concerning a man making a dedication to a as yet unborn child, to an ubar, and we saw Shitas Rav Huna that said Mezake le ubar lo kona. The Gemara on the previous Omid presented our Mishnah as a kasha on Rav Huna, and Rav Huna's response was that the Mishnah, I just don't know who taught it. Namely, it's not a reliable source. We tried numerous attempts to explain that the Mishnah might represent a different opinion in Tanoim, but we were unsuccessful. At the top of Kuf Mem Beis, Omid Aleph, we see Rav Huna once again saying, and his final response was that even if a person says, I want to give such and such amount of money to this ubar when it is born, that too will not take effect. At this point, the Gemara presents, in addition to Rav Huna, another two Amoraic opinions on the topic of Mezake l'ubar. The Gemara continues from the third line from the top. Di Omar Rav Nachman, HaMezake l'ubar lo kona. We've broken down Rav Nachman's halacha into Aleph and Beis. Rav Nachman has been noted as one because there will follow him Rav Huna number 2 and Rav Sheshes number 3. Within Rav Nachman, there are two points. Aleph, similar to Rav Huna, that Mezake l'ubar lo kona, the one who tries to grant something to he was as yet unborn, he will not acquire. However, licha sheteled, this is halacha beis of Rav Nachman. If, however, he stipulates that I want to grant this to the ubar when it is born, kona, that will be effective. V'Rav Huna Omar af licha sheteled lo kona. Even if you add that stipulation that you want to grant this particular gift to the ubar when it is born, it won't take effect because, as you're speaking, it is as yet unborn. We've dot underlined Rav Huna because this is the tie-in to the previous Gemara. Number 3, Rav Sheshes Omar Echod Ze V'Echod Ze Kona. Not only with the added stipulation of Licha Sheteled is it Kone, is the Ubar Kone, but even if you don't add that, in other words, Rav Sheshes stands to the opposite extreme of Rav Huna, and Rav Sheshes says that under all circumstances, even Mezake L'Ubar will be Kona, will acquire. Omar Rav Sheshes Mano Amino Law. From where do I know this? At this point, the Gemara proceeds to give a basis for Rav Sheshes' ruling. You'll notice in the little space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, Rav Sheshes' name is written in and circled with a dashed vertical line. This indicates that the lines of Gemara opposite this marking are part of this particular point. From where does Rav Sheshes know to say what he does? The Gemara continues. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's in a frame, as all Tanaic sources in the marking system appear. Ger Shemes, a convert who died. Convert who died without leaving any children. His property is said to be hefker, that is, anyone who comes and takes possession of his property, in the case where a ger, convert, died without leaving heirs in the case of a convert would be subsequent generations, because previous generations are no longer considered associated with the convert as far as matters of inheritance are concerned. So he died, Ubizbizu Yisrael Nechosov. And some Jews came and took possession of his estate. Vishamu Shiesh Lo Ben. And then they heard that this ger that died left a son, or he left a woman who is pregnant. We've dashed underline muberes because this is the focus of our discussion. The whole sugya concerns the ability of the as yet unborn to acquire. So we see a case where he left a pregnant wife. Chayovin lahachzir. Those people who took possession of his estate must return it to either the son or the pregnant wife. In other words, they're returning it to the unborn. Hichziru hakoil. After they returned it, they then heard that the son died or the woman miscarried. If they take possession a second time, or someone else takes possession anew, then they will acquire. However, the original possession is of no value, doesn't work. And why is that? Because we saw that after they took possession originally, there had been a son, or there had been an ubar. Even though later on they die, or the ubar never came forth to avir ha'olam, to be born, there had been nevertheless a legitimate heir, thereby weakening the possession that those original people took of the ger's property. The Gemara goes on to make this point. V'i salka daitach ubar lo koni. If you were to think that an ubar does not take possession, that he is a non-player, lama luhu achzuki b'shniyah, what is the necessity of them taking possession a second time? Ho achziku luhu chado zimna. They already took possession the first time. So we see from here, and this is the end of Rav Sheshis' point, we see from here the fact that there's a need to take possession after the miscarriage. It means that the possession having been taken the first time when the wife was pregnant had no value, showing us very clearly that an ubar does take possession, that the ubar was the legitimate owner of the property when his father died, and not those that took possession, those outsiders that came to take possession. At this point, the Gemara proceeds to reject, to push aside Rav Sheshis' point. Abaye will offer his rejection. We've called him Aleph, we've underlined him, and we've underlined Rava and called him Beis. Two points, two suggestions why not to accept the example of Ishto Mu'uberes in the case of the Ger that died as proof that in general an Ubar gains possession. That in general one cannot say that Mezake Le'ubar Kona. Omar Abaye, Yerusha Habo Me'eleo Shaini. Inheritance, which is something that comes automatically, is different. So, something like that, something like Yerusha, which comes automatically, true, the Ubar can gain possession. And that's why there was a need for a second possession to be taken of that property in the event that the Ubar was miscarried. However, where ownership is granted to the Ubar through some type of active giving on the part of an outsider, namely the case of Mezake Le'ubar, I would still say, lo kona, that the Uber does not gain possession. Rava disagrees with Abaye, but still rejects Rav Sheshes' conclusion. Rava will tell you that, in general, mezake l'ubar is lo kona, and that an ubar as well is not yoresh, that an ubar does not inherit, unlike Abaye. If that be the case, then why is it that it's necessary to take possession a second time? So Rava Omar Shaini Hasam, De Refuye Marpion Biodayu Meikora. When those original people came to take possession of the Ger's property, they were taking possession in a weak form. They were not sure what that Ger had left, so that when they were taking it, they weren't taking possession with a sense of full conviction. Therefore, the need for a second possession to be taken arises. Let us take a look at the Rashbam on the first line under the Gemara. The Rova Omar, Li'olam e'maloch lo'ishna ha'mezake l'ubar, lo'ishna yerusha bo me'leo, lo kona klal. It doesn't matter whether it's a case of someone initiating a gift to the ubar, nor the case of inheritance. The ubar does not acquire. V'shayni hosam, gabi ha'machzik b'rishon, in the case of the ger that died, and there were the first people to take possession of his property, hai delo kona, that which the original possessors do not gain ownership, lav mishum ubar hu, it's not because they're confronted by the embryo, deha ein ubar yoresh, the ubar wouldn't have inherited anyway, says Rava. Elo meikora kishirziku, rather, originally when they took possession, refuye merapin biodayu kishemes hager ubizizu nechosov, rather, their original possession was one of a weak nature when they came to take possession of his property. V'hechziku lo niskavnu lahachzik legamri. When they took possession, they didn't have full conviction in what they were doing. D'ho misafkeluhu im yesh lo yorshim im lav. They were, in fact, in doubt. Maybe this guy, this ger, left heirs. Maybe not. K'mo shulchiach sofa atchiloso sheshamu libesof shehoya lo ben. O Ishto Muberis, as in fact their doubts were confirmed in that they heard subsequently that in fact he had left a son, or his wife had been pregnant. Veshemelo Tapiel, and even though she was pregnant, maybe she wouldn't miscarry. Lokachlo Havyu Cheskosu Chazoka. Therefore, their original possession was not a solid one. Elam came Chozru Vehirziku Achar Mises Aben Veubar, unless they come a second time and take possession. Ula oilam ema loch ubor eno yoresh vegam hamezake loy loy kona. So as we've seen, Abaye and Rava both reject the source that was in the frame and the need for a second possession as being a basis for Rav Sheshes' argument that an ubor is kona. But rather, Abaye and Rava would both agree that the ubor is not kona. Whether one says that Yerusha is different, but Mizake Lubar doesn't work, or whether you say, like Rava, that both Yerusha and Mizake Lubar don't work. My Binayu, what would be a practical difference between Abaye and Rava? In other words, what difference does it make whether one says that though an ubar may be yoresh, but mezake the ubar doesn't work, and the case of refuye marpion, that the original possession in the case of the ger shemes was a weak type of possession, as Rava explained. Iko binayu, a practical difference would arise in the following case. Sheshamu boy shemes, where they heard that a ger had died, and they heard that the son had died, velomes, and in fact the son had not died, and they were still in possession of it, those that took it originally. The acharkach mace, and then afterwards the son in fact died. We've presented a little bit of a chart on the side of the Gemara indicating the events as are presented in the Rashbam. This chart is found on the inside margin, a little bit lower down on the page, opposite where the Rashbam describes the case. So we have a situation where a ger died, and people took possession and of the property, and they heard that the ger left a pregnant wife, and then they heard that the ubor was miscarried, and they were still in possession. Another possibility the Rashbam offers were that after they heard that the ubor died, they then took possession. But their hearing, their information was really not accurate. But only afterwards did the ubor actually become miscarried, or if it was a case of leaving a son, did the son actually die? So according to Abaye, that an ubor is yoresh, when they took possession, they took possession in the face of an actual ubar. Therefore, their taking of possession was of no value. And therefore, there would be a need for a second possessing. However, according to Rava, that an ubar is not yoresh, and these people were in possession of the property when they heard the ubar died, albeit what they heard wasn't actually true, because the ubar was miscarried only subsequently. Nevertheless, when they took possession and were still in possession of the property, they heard the ubar died. In other words, their possessing at that point was of legal strength. They had conviction in what they were doing. They weren't in the state of doubt that was featured in the case above in the Gemara that we were describing when we were learning the source. But rather here, because they heard the ubar actually died, their possession was solid, and therefore there would be no need for a second possessing of the property. Continuing in the Gemara, Toshma. The Gemara at this point will be asking a kasha on Rav Sheshes. The Gemara continues presenting a Tanaic source. As you can see, it too is framed. Tinok ben Yoim Echod, a newborn child, Nochel, Umanchil, he can inherit from his father, and upon his death, he passes on his property to his brothers. And we infer, Ben Yom Echad In, this process of inheritance on the part of a young one is true only if he's born. Ubor Lo. Notice how we've dashed, underlined, ubar lo. This is in contrast with Rav Sheshes' opinion that said that an ubar is kone. Here we see that an ubar is not kone, and he's not kone even through Yerusha, which we saw above. There would have been a svara that Yerusha was an easier way to acquire. But even so, the inference we're making from this source is that an ubar is not kone, even in Yerusha. As you can see in the continuation of the Gemara, we see a geometric form, a diamond. we glance at the outside margin and we see an explanation of what this represents. The outside margin we have written in Nosei Mivneh, the topic, and the structure. The diamonds here are Tshuvois Lakushya Al Rav Sheshes, Mimokor, Demashma Shirakim Noilad Havlad Yoresh, Avol Ubor Eino Yoresh. These will be responses to the kasha that we asked from the source that was mashma, that implied that an ubor is not yoresh. And now we will see a defense of Rav Sheshes. We see a diamond with an indication as number one, and we've added in the space between the Gemara text and the Tosfos, namely to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a little one with a diamond, so that you can scan down the Omid Beis and find number two, which will be a second type of defense for Rav Sheshes. We can now continue in the Gemara. Ho Omar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes already explained this Tanaic source as referring to a special case. Nochel benichse ho'em lahanchil la'achin min ho'av. When this source made reference to nochel umanchil, it was referring to a situation where a man died, a man who was married to two women, and we have a child that is shayach to one of the wives, and he has brothers from the common father, but they are from a different mother. So we say as follows, that in the event that a child died in an unborn state, he is incapable of inheriting from his mother, and thereby inheriting from his mother and then passing on that which he inherited upon his own death to his brothers from the common father, but from the other wife. So this source tells us that Tinok ben yom echod nochel umanchil. What does that mean, practically speaking? A woman who was pregnant bore a child, and then she died, and then the newborn died. So since she died, her son would inherit her, and upon his death, even though he's a day old, upon his death, the property he inherited from his mother would be transferred to his brothers from a common father. The Gemara points out, V'davka ben yoim echod. This transfer of property, whereby he inherits his mother and transfers the inheritance upon his own death to his brothers from the common father, this is true if he is born. Aval ubor lo. But an ubor is incapable of doing this. Now we have a little note that we indicate with our asterisk on the inside margin that says, Afal pi de ubor yoresh lefi Rav Sheshes. Even though an ubor is capable of inheriting according to Rav Sheshes, b'mikre ze lo manchil la'achin min o'av. In this case, though, he will not cause transfer of property over to his brothers from a common father. And we'll explain why. My taima. Why is it that the ubar, even though in general an ubar has inheritance powers, why is it here that he's not inheriting from his mother? The more answers, Dehu mayis beresha. The ein haben yoresh es imoi bakever lahanchil la'achin min ho'av. Very simply, because if the child was as yet unborn, and we're talking about the inheritance of his mother, we're also talking about the mother dying. The mother, the pregnant woman, is dying. Who dies first? So we say that the ubor is said to die first, and then the mother. So as such, we can't discuss an ubor who is inheriting he's already dead. He's dead before his mother. So in such a case, the property of that woman would go to her heirs, her father, her brothers, whatever it might be in the line of inheritance. But the ubar, in this case, is not said to inherit from his mother because he died before the mother. And we don't say that a son inherits his mother in the grave, so to speak. That even though we will not say that in the event he died first, that he will still be able to act as a conduit in the grave, so to speak, to transfer property from his mother to his brothers from a common father. In order to give this answer, we are making a very basic assumption, and that is, as the Gemara said at the top, that the ubar dies first. The Gemara now asks, "Lememro dehu mayis bereisha?" Is that so, that the ubar, when a woman who's pregnant dies, that the ubar dies first? Vahohavi uvda, there was an incident, a case where a pregnant woman died, so we saw her dead, and yet we noticed that her belly was still moving after she died. That would indicate, superficially, that the woman's death precedes the death of the ubar showing signs of life after the mother is already dead. The Gemara says those are not true signs of life, but rather the ubar's movement is a nervous reaction. Omar Mor Barav Ashi, Midi Dehavi Azonov Hatlito'o Shemifarcheses. The movement of the embryo is after the mother died is parallel to the movement of a lizard's tail after it is cut off from the body of the lizard. There remain nerves that continue reacting even though the tail has been severed from the body, and it's very clear that the tail is not a living organism in and of itself, so that mere movement is not an expression of true life. We encounter another diamond with a number 2 written in next to it, indicating this is a second defense of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes saying that basically an ubar does gain possession through Yerusha and even through someone granting it ownership. So why in the source that we saw in Omid Aleph did we make an inference that only if the child is actually born is he nochel umanchil, but if not born, he's not? So the Gemara says, Mor brei derav Yosef mishmei derova omar, lomar shememait bechelek bechora. The idea that you need a child to be born in order to inherit, what we're really saying is that only a born child will reduce the amount that the bechor, that the firstborn brother, gets as his extra portion. V'davko ben yoim echod. Only a born child would be a cause of this reduction in amount that the firstborn gets as his extra portion. Aval ubar lo. But in the case of an ubar, the ubar would not serve to reduce the amount the firstborn brother gets as his extra portion. My taimo, what is the basis for this? The posuk, v'yoldu lo omar rachmona. That in the topic of firstborn extra portion, the posuk says, and he is born to him, to the father, someone that is actually born. The Omar Mor Breid Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rava. We have here the appearance of the use of a double underline to show, to highlight the appearance of Mor Breid Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rava several times in the Gemara. At this point in the Gemara, we see an aleph in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, this Aleph is followed by a Beis, indicating two Lashonos in the presentation of Mar Breder of Yosef. Nevertheless, at this point, the Gemara highlights what he says, that the Omar, Mar Breder of Yosef, Mishmei Derova, Ben Shinolad Liachar Misas Oviv, a son that is born after his father died, Eino Memayit Bechelek Bechora. He will not reduce the portion that the Bechor gets as his extra portion as a firstborn. My Taimo, what's the basis for this? Violdulo Omar Rachmona Vaholeko. That in order for a child to be able to reduce the portion given to the firstborn as the extra portion, the child has to be born unto the father, not in a, which is not so in the case that a child is born after his father's death. In order to illustrate this halacha, it's necessary to engage in a discussion or in examples using numbers. So we will attempt to do this through glancing at a chart presentation that we've included on the inside margin of the Gemara. We're going to feature two general situations. Roman numeral number one is Ben Yoimoi Memait Chelek Bechora, and Roman numeral number two is Ubar Eino Memait Chelek Bechora. Ben Yomo, going back to number one, Ben Yomo, an actually born child, even though he dies on the day that he emerges into this world, he is capable of being Memayit the Chelek Bechora. So under our Roman numeral number one, we have stage Aleph, Nolad Levi Umeis Yankiv. Namely, there's a father, his name is Yankiv, and he has sons. He has Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi is born before Yankiv dies. We'll also use as a number, and this is upon the suggestion of the Rashbam, 12 units that are going to be divided. If you want to keep things simple, you can say $12 are going to be divided amongst these children. So when you have three sons in the picture, you take the number 3 and add 1, because we're going to try to account for the extra portion that is due to the Bechor. So if we do that, we take the number 12, which is $12, which is what is left in the estate, and we're going to divide it 4 ways. When you do that, so 4 divided by 3, you get each portion $3. Reuven is a firstborn, so he gets a double portion. As you can see on the chart, Resh, representing Reuven, he gets $6. Shimon, $3. Levi, $3. As the story unfolds, Levi, who happened to be born he was born before his father died, as we've demonstrated. Levi then dies. What happens with Levi's property? Levi had $3. Who inherits Levi? His brothers, Reuven and Shimon. In the case of brother inheritance, there's no din of firstborn. So we take Levi's $3 and divide it 2 ways, 2 equal parts. Hence, we take Reuven's original 6 and add 1.5, and you see that Reuven is going to get $7.5 total, and Levi and Shimon, the other surviving brother, where he originally had 3, he gets another 1.5 for a total of $4.5. Let us compare this case with the next case, where we say that an ubor is not memayit chelek bechora. Let's go over the story, or present a new story. We've written in case stage Aleph, the father died, Yankiv died, leaving a pregnant wife, namely an Ubar who is as yet unborn. So when Yankov dies, using the number 12 again, he dies, leaving in effect two sons plus an Ubar. But the Ubar is not going to figure in our initial factor when we're going to analyze the issue of the Chelik Bechorah. So in calculating Chelik Bechorah, what do? We have two sons, we add one, so we make three parts. We take the $12, divide it into three parts. That's 12 divided by 3, 4 parts. The firstborn Reuven gets two of those parts. He will get $8, and Shimon, $4. The $8 that Reuven got is made up of, obviously, 4 and 4, which we've also indicated in parentheses. After that, stage Beis, Nolad Levi. Levi is then born. What do we do? We look at the amount that had been inherited by Reuven and Shimon, and we see that there's $4 by Shimon, and by Reuven there's 4 and 4. Four of the dollars that Reuven got as his Chelek Bechorah we put off to the side. That leaves us with $8 to be redivided. Why do we have to make a redivision? Because Levi is born now. So we take $8 and divide it three ways. That's 8 divided by 3, as we've indicated in the parentheses, equals 2 and 2/3. So we now have three portions of 2 and 2/3 dollars. We take the 2 and 2/3 and divide it amongst the three brothers. Therefore, Reuven, who had 4, we add 2 and 2/3 to that, giving us 6 and 2/3. Shimon gets 2 and 2/3. And Levi gets 2 and 2/3. If you add up all these numbers, you get 12. It's obvious, but let's note it once again, that though Shimon originally got 4, but since a new brother was born, we have to redivide that amount, as we did 4 of Reuven's original dollars. In other words, the 8 was redivided. Hence, the distribution is as we just demonstrated, 2 and 2/3 for Levi, 2 and 2/3 for Shimon, and 6 and 2/3 for Reuven. However, the story goes on. Stage Gimel, then Levi dies. Bear in mind, Levi was that who was a mere embryo at the point his father died. He was born after his father died. Now, Levi dies. What we do with Levi's property was 2 2/3. We take the 2 2/3 and divide it amongst his brothers, Reuven and Shimon. 2 2/3 divided by 2 is 1 1/3. We go and take the 1 1/3 and add it to what those brothers had. Shimon, who had 2 2/3, we add 1 1/3 to that. Shimon comes out with 4. Reuven had 6 2/3 before this. We add the 1 1/3 to 6 2/3, and we come out with 8. What do we see in this story? We see that Reuven, who originally had received 8, at the point that his father died, leaving himself and only one brother, the embryo as yet unborn, Reuven had received 8 at that point. And we see at the end of this story, Reuven recovers that amount, the same 8. We see from here that the Ubar did not affect the Chelek Bechorah. This point, that an Ubar does not affect a Chelek Bechorah, is true as regards an Ubar, whereas a Tinok Ben Yom Echad will affect the Chelek Bechorah, as was demonstrated in the case above Roman numeral number 1, where we saw at the end of the day, when Levi died, Reuven was left with 7.5. Not 8. Continuing in the Gemara, we see a squiggle underlined expression, Basura Masnu Hochi, and following that another squiggle underlined expression, Bapumbadisa Masnu Hochi. In other words, there are two Lishonos in the presentation of Mar Breid Rav Yosef Mishmei Darava, and that's why we had a little Aleph in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, a few lines up, and now Lashon Beis. The Pumbadisa version. Omar Mor Breid Rav Yosef Mishmei Darava, Bechor Shenoilad Leachar Misas Aviv, a firstborn that's born after his father died, Eino Notel Pi Shnayim. There is no din of extra portion. Let's give a simple example. A man died leaving a pregnant wife, pregnant with twins. The first child to be born in a twin birth, he is said to be the Bechor. However, since the father died before they were born, these children, when born, will receive equal portions. My taima, why is it? Why is it that here we don't have the din of double portion for firstborn? Yakir omat rachmona. The Pusuk uses the expression of yakir when dealing with a firstborn, that the father points out. You need a father to point out. Vahal less so the yakir, the father in this case is not around to point out who is the Bechor. V'hilchasa k'chol hani lishni de'omar mor brei Rav Yosef mishmei d'rova. Another benefit that we have from the double underlining is to appreciate this line, because the Gemara here rules and says that the halacha will follow all of the statements of mor brei Rav Yosef mishmei d'rova. Namely, that only a tinok ben yom echad is mamay d'chelik b'chora, and that only a born child gets a chelik b'chora, as opposed to a case of a b'chor shenol lachar mises aviv, there is no chelik b'chora. We have a period at this point in the Gemara, because the Gemara now continues with a new trend of thought, but it's not a new sugya. How do we see that it's not a new sugya? Because we see the appearance of a bow tie form with a Roman numeral number 2 indicated in the space immediately to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. Accompanying that, we have a note right under that bow tie Roman numeral number 2 indicating a Roman numeral 1, Li'eo Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. If one glances back to Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, the upper part of the page, one will notice Rav Huna appeared in a similar marking. Rav Huna dealt with the issue of Mezake Le'ubar. Rabbi Yochanan deals with the same halacha and says the same thing. All of this, by the way, was introduced in our introductory note that appeared on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis in the outside margin. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yitzchok, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamazake Le'ubar Lo Kona. That one who tries to grant ownership of something to he who is as yet unborn, the unborn does not acquire. V'im toimar mishnah senu. And if you say, what about our mishnah? You might raise as an objection. We saw in the mishnah a father dedicating to his as yet unborn. If my wife bears a male, a son, I will give him 100. And the mishnah ruled that if he is born, when he's born, he gets the 100. So we see that in Ubar, the unborn, the as yet unborn, does acquire. So we answer that the Mishnah is no kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Hoyol v'daito shel adam kroivo etzel beno. When it comes to a father and son, that's a very close relationship. So that the father, when granting the gift to his son, although as yet unborn, he does it with a very strong commitment and conviction. That is not the case with someone who is an outsider, unrelated to the Ubar, who is trying to make a similar gift. We've noted on the inside margin a personal note. There appears to be a possible difference between the Rav Yochanan approach and the Rav Huna approach. Rav Huna's approach to the Mishnah was one, Eini Yodea Mishana. Sort of raising his hands and saying, I can't find any basis for the ruling of the Mishnah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan offers a svara for why the Mishnah indicates that an ubar gets possession, and that is because it was a father making the gift, offering that particular dedication. The Gemara continues, Amar Lei Shmuel L'Rav Chona Bagdisa. Shmuel says to Rav Chona from Baghdad, Poke, Aisi Li, Bei Asora, go out, gather for me 10 people, the Eimar L'cho Be'apayu, and I will say in their presence, in front of them. And the idea of gathering 10 people was to publicize the point. And what's the point? Hamizake L'ubor Kona, that one who tries to grant possession of something to the as yet unborn, he does acquire. We've seen opinions like that before in the Gemara. However, the Gemara itself rules v'hilchasa hamezake le'ubar lo kona. This ruling is along the lines of Rabbi Yochanan. And the Rashbam adds, since we're following Rabbi Yochanan, we will say that the case of Mezak Lubalokona is talking about a case where it is not his son. However, if it were a case of Mezak Lubar, which is his son, there the ubar would acquire. And the emphasis that the Rashbam makes here on that this ruling is like Rabbi Yochanan suggests, like our observation before, that Rav Huna himself would have disagreed. At this point in the Gemara, you notice a slash mark. This indicates that the continuation of the Gemara represents a new train of thought. Let us take advantage of our topic heading, or the structural note, first of all, in the outside margin, followed by a topic heading. The structural note in the outside margin is called Mivneh, and there's a note that it continues, the triangles will continue until Kuf Mem Gimel, Omid Beis. If one has his personal volume of Bava Basra, he can just flip over to Kuf Mem Gimel Omid Beis and notice that the triangle series continues up to number 5. What are they? So in our structural note in the outside margin, we've indicated a triangle and also noted Sidra Shel Mikrim, a series of examples of cases, Shel Chalukas Nechosim, where property is being divided. The immediate nosei, the immediate topic, Hanosei Matono Livnoi Shekvar Noilad Yachad Im Bonov Shadayin Lo Nodu. We'll discuss a case of a father giving property, granting ownership of property, giving a gift of property to his already born son, along with sons that have not been born yet. Ha'im yizke oisa shikvar noilad b'chelek nosaf. Will the already born son get an extra portion b'glal matona zu because of this particular gift? Yoiser Mishaar Echov Sheyizku Bekoyach Yerusha Bilvat Achar Mises Avihen. Namely, an extra portion will be possibly given to this son that has already been born, in addition to the portions that the as yet unborn will get only as a result of inheritance which will take place later. Because as far as this particular gift that the father is offering to his sons, born and unborn, the unborn don't get anything as a result of the gift. So as what we're going to try to do in the sugya is to focus on what does the already born son get? Does he get an additional chelek as a result of this particular gift, in addition to what he will get as part of the inheritance which will take place later on? Turning to the Gemara. Ha'u di Omar Lidvisu. Man said to his wife, who was not even pregnant. In other words, this is, of course, a point that Rashbam brings out. This is in contrast with the sugya before, where we were dealing with someone granting a gift to the embryo, to the ubar. Here, we're talking about a case of a person making a dedication to children that are as yet not even in a state of pregnancy. So a man turns to his wife and says, Nechosai levonai dihavu li mineif. My property is to the sons that I will have from you. Also brave Shisha, an older son, namely a son from this man's first wife, comes along, Omar Lei, and the son says to his father, Hahu gavra mai tehevi ole, speaks in the third person, but he's referring to himself. He says, Hahu gavra, what about, on himself, he says, what about me? What's going to be with me? Omar Lei, so the father says, Zil kini kechad mibra. Literally, go ahead and acquire like one of the future sons that will be born from this woman. The Gemara now analyzes, Hanoch vadai lo konu da'akati lesnehu. The unborn will definitely not acquire as a result of this particular gift, because they're not around. Hi, this one, the older son, the son from the first wife that is around. The Gemara now presents two possibilities. Aleph, O, Beis, which is at the end of the line. Is chulik letalia b'mokom benaya? Is there a portion, letalia means to the child who's already born, in a situation where b'mokom benaya, in the case of the in the presence of the other children who do not acquire. In other words, is there a special chelik for this particular son who is around, even though the others do not get? Oy, les le chulik letalia bimokom benaya. Or, do we say that just like the others don't get, this one doesn't get anything special either? As far as actual gaining of possession, that will take place when the father eventually dies, and they'll inherit through the institution of inheritance. But as far as a special chelik, a special portion as a result of this gift, according to possibility Beis, even the already born son will not get. Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Mesha, Rabbi Yirmiya, three Rabbanan take a position, the Amri, Is chulik letalya b'mokom benaya. That this already born son has a portion above that which the unborn children will eventually get. In other words, an extra portion. There is a Rashbam that has an asterisk accompanying it. The Rashbam says, Is chulik l'talia b'mokom benaya? The afal gav, the benaya lo konu b'koch matonazu, afilu chelik echod, that even though the other unborn sons do not acquire anything through this particular gift, even a singular portion, they get nothing, the whole lesnu, afilu ubar, they're not around, they're not even an embryo, that If it had been an embryo, we could have offered the svara, the idea, the name of Daita Shalodim Krovel Tzibano, where we said before a father has a sense of closeness with regard to a son, which would have included even an embryo. But here we're talking about a case where they're not even in that state. Velo yiknu elo b'toras yerusha b'misas avihem. They, the as yet unborn, will only acquire through inheritance. Afilu hachi, even though they get nothing. Bray, Talya, Kona, B'koyach Matonazu, Chelik Echod, the already born son, would get a portion, Milvad Chelko Shiyore Shiyim Echov, above the portion he will eventually get as inheritance. So we see the three Rabbanim, Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Meisha, Rabbi Yirmiyah, saying that he does get. Another three Rabbanim, Rabbi Avov, Rabbi Chanina Bar Popi, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, the Amri, Leis Chulik Letalia B'mokim Benaya. He does not get an extra portion. We've done a special marking here, emphasizing the word is with a squiggle underline under the first set of Rabbanan, and here, the second set of Rabbanan, the word less. This will make it easier to follow the continuation of the Gemara. Amar Lei Rabbi Avo, the Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Avo, who was part of the group that said less, that he does not get an extra chelek, turns to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said that he does. Rabbi Avo asks, Hilchus Kavosano, Hilchus Kavosaychu, is the halacha like us, or is the halacha like you? Omar Lei, Rabbi Yirmiyah responds, Pshita de Hilchus Kavosan, de Kashishna Minaychu, the less Hilchus Kavosaychu, de Dardiki Atun. A very interesting response. He says that it's obvious that the halacha follows us because we are older. And the halacha is not like you because you are dardiki, our youth, our children, are younger. Omar Lei, Rabbi Avo says back, is that the basis of your ruling how to paskin? Midi b'kshishusa talyo milsa, b'taima talyo milsa. Is halacha determined by age? Halacha is determined by reason, by tam. V'tam omai. So what is the reasoning behind Rabbi Avo and his colleagues that say less le chulik? So what is the reason? It could be that Rabbi Yirmiyah, after hearing Rabbi Avo's objection, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks Rabbi Avo, well, what's your reason? So Rabbi Avo is saying, Zil legabe de Rabbi Ovin, you go to Rabbi Ovin, de asparta nihale. Rabbi Ovin was part of the group of Rabbonon that was together with Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Avo is telling Rabbi Yirmiyah, you can go to one of your colleagues, one of the people that saw things your way, and I had explained to him my position. The Karkish ba reishe be midrashan, he nodded in agreement with my position. Ozila gabe. So Rabbi Yirmiyah went to Rabbi Ovin. Omar lei. And Rabbi Ovin explained the Rabbi Avo position. Ilu omar lei kni kechamor. If a person had said to somebody, acquire like a donkey, mi koni, would he acquire? Namely, just like a donkey doesn't acquire anything, so too the person in question wouldn't acquire. And just like the other sons that have not been born yet don't acquire, so too the son that's already born will not acquire. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.